And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Good, so.
I feel like we're about to sing a song together.
Would something. You like to?
No, definitely don't want that.
Are you not musical?
Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask me, I love singing. But okay. If you ask anyone who's heard me sing,
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Understood. All right. So can you guys introduce yourselves?
Sure.
Sure.
My name is Mary Ponte Sager, and I am a board member of the Sports Museum of Dutchess County.
Very cool.
And my name is Jessica Sarantonio. I am the president of the board of the Friends of Carnwath Farms Historic Site and Park.
And you're wearing the gear today.
I
will get a picture of that before we go. Could I please?
Oh, we of course should do some pictures.
Okay, beautiful.
Yes.
And we're here promoting
the Fall Festival and Pumpkin Painting, our third annual.
Oh, it's the third one?
It is the third one.
Oh, I thought this was a pilot.
Oh no, this is cool. The third one, and it's going to be the grandest one.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So tell me about the event first, in case people dial out. Date, what do I do? Sure. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, so Sunday, October 19th. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. As Jessica said, it's our third annual, and this is the biggest one yet. Every year we add more things. What this basically is it's a celebration of Carnwath Farms, the sports museum, and everything having to do with the fall. We've had quite a few donations coming in. So we have free pumpkins for every child as long as supplies last.
Okay.
Every child.
Supplies of pumpkins, not children.
Supplies of pumpkins, not children.
Okay. Correct.
You need to be really specific in on the microphone. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. So we should have quite a few pumpkins. We have paints available, so every child gets to paint their own pumpkin. There's no admission fee. We do have some food trucks, so if people are interested in buying food, we have 2 food trucks coming in.
Who do we have for food?
We have 2 food trucks. We have Dolce Italian Bakery.
Can't do that. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And then we have the Dog House.
Can do that.
Yes, absolutely. The Dog House is very popular in this area. They have a variety of food. And then we thought the bakery, if people were interested in having a little dessert.
I'm on this like anti-carb thing right now. That's why I said I can't. I would love to do Italian. I'm just like on this anti-carb thing. That's
Sure. So
this is.
But there's no reason to eat like me. I'm crazy. Eat the Italian, please.
So we also have tours of the museum, of course. People are welcome to also walk around the gorgeous grounds that we have with wonderful views of the river. We have face painters, raffles,
games. Petting zoo.
By Cedar Hill Ranch. And also...
What is Cedar Hill Ranch?
No. Cedar Hill Ranch is actually Victoria LaPerche's...
Dogs. I'm going to get in trouble.
Sorry. Thank you. And Dogs. Beautiful ranch over in Wappinger Falls. Yeah. Okay. And they're bringing some of their farm animals.
Are they really?
Their ranch animals, I guess is the appropriate term, to let the community enjoy them. Yes. And they're doing that graciously out of their hearts. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. They do a lot graciously out of their
they
hearts.
They do. Absolutely.
We're sitting in this room because they did gracious things out
absolutely,
of their hearts.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's
very
wonderful.
Much so.
All right. What is... How do I pronounce it? Carnwath? I'm not looking at your chest. I'm reading your chest. Yeah. Okay, thank you. It's so awkward. What's Carnwath? Yeah. Right, and I can't see anyways.
We should change the placement is what next t-shirt.
There you go. Yeah.
I need a hat.
Or just give me this. Just good. Eyes are here. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, so Carnwath Farms Historic Site and Park is really an amazing place. We could probably do multiple series of podcasts on the park, to be honest.
Do you want
to? Maybe.
Okay,
maybe.
Cool. Yeah, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, let's see how this goes.
All right.
So actually, I can't continue this without saying, obviously, this land, which was originally from the Lenape people, indigenous people, had this land, used this land, and stewarded this land. And there's a long history of that land being taken. Eventually it ended up in the hands of people who wanted to build a manor house on it, the Willis family. That was back in 1850. So that's the oldest structure on the site, the Carnwath Manor.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It's very cool. And since then, the site has changed hands about 6 times. And you'd be amazed to hear the different characters who have owned the property and sort of added their own buildings, their own landscaping, all that sort
of stuff. Did Elvis ever own it?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I haven't come across that one.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to fast forward because, like I said, this could take the entire many different podcasts, but it wasn't until 1999 that the town of Wappinger bought the park. And it was back in, I believe, 2005 that the town of Wappinger dedicated the park to arts, culture, and leisure for the people of Wappinger. And so it has been that since. And there's been the dedication of the Reese Cultural Center, which is actually where the sports museum is housed. Since then, there's been more recently renovation of the chapel. So at one point in its history, it was a novitiate. And so there were actually Roman Catholic priests walking around this land.
Wow.
Yes. And so they built a chapel, as it goes.
As one would if one were a priest.
As one would. And now that chapel is going to be used as a venue for different events. It's already been used multiple times, something that the town of Wappinger and the town supervisor has worked very hard to make come to fruition.
Mm.
So,
Joey Cavicini.
Yes, Joseph D. Cavicini.
Oh, okay. He's a friend of mine. So I just call him Jack. Oh, no, just kidding. Yeah, he's amazing.
Absolutely. He's
a supporter. Yeah, he's a supporter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, down by me, how many acres is it?
99.7.
You couldn't? You couldn't get that?
I know. That predates me.
Understood. That's the priest's fault. Yeah. If you put 99.7 acres down by me, your chances of dedicating that space to culture for one town for one town would be 0.0.
Right.
I love that that happens up here.
Yeah, it really
is. Which is why I got to get up here.
It really is.
That's amazing.
We call it a hidden gem.
Yeah.
A lot of people refer to it that way. And Mary, feel free to jump in whenever you want. It's not only 99.7 acres right on the Hudson. It has, because of its basically the landscape, it's very hilly. It has some of the most beautiful views, and I'm biased, but honestly, the most beautiful views you can see of the Hudson, especially once the leaves fall.
Yeah.
You really can get some sweeping views, as long as you're willing to hike a little.
It's good to hike a little.
It's good for the heart. Yeah. It's good for the heart.
Absolutely beautiful hiking, especially this time of the year.
So yeah.
Everyone should get out there and experience this. It's just fantastic.
I'm on this kick. The show's kind of mental health oriented too.
Yes, yes.
I'm on this kick of making sure I'm outside for half hour a day.
Good idea.
And I've been doing and in the sun, and I've been doing it for like 3 weeks because I know I'm just in a studio all day and don't see it. And I'm telling you, I can feel it already. It's so good for your head.
Absolutely.
Exercise aside, it's so good mentally for you.
Well, just the beauty of the fall in the Hudson Valley. It's phenomenal. I don't live here most of the time. I'm from here, but I've been out in Arizona for 20 years. So I visit here quite often. And a lot of that is just for what you said, the feeling that you get from being here, seeing the leaves change, looking at the river. It's just a feeling that you really don't get any other place. And I know I'm a little biased because I'm a native.
Right.
But I just feel like I feel refreshed.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the city of Poughkeepsie.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you handled it well.
Congratulations. Yeah. I love the city of Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. All right. What is the Dutchess County?
The Sports Museum of Dutchess County.
Which I'm a little angry that I'm not in, but we can take that up later.
No, we can talk about that.
I ran cross country my freshman year at Rhinebeck Central High School, and somehow I didn't make the museum.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Well, there's always next year.
There you go.
Hall of Fame 2026.
There you go. Let's start the campaign
right now. Well, we have been there since the Reese Cultural Center opened up, as Jessica had mentioned, 2005. We actually rent space in the Reese Cultural Center. And we have the Sports Museum of Dutchess County, which is, as my brother, who's the president, nepotism here, is the president of the organization, Bill Ponte. He says we are relentlessly local. Our museum focuses on local heroes. You're not going to see a display on, you know, Mickey Mantle or Aaron Judge or anyone else. You're going to see people who have come from Dutchess County and have made it big in the area of sports. Some examples, Tyler Adams. We have a display on him. He's a soccer player, captain of the U.S. World Cup soccer team in the last go-round.
Really?
We have a nice display on him. He's a Wappingers native.
Oh, very cool.
We have something dedicated to Emilio Bettina, who is from Beacon. He was the light heavyweight boxing champ in 1939. So we range, you know, throughout the generations.
Right.
We have a younger person like Tyler, and then someone who's passed on but was famous in his day. And we're always adding, you know. I mean, we're always taking new new donations.
So there's hope.
New artifacts. Yeah.
Okay.
There's hope. And every year we have a Hall of Fame ceremony where we enter new people. And it's not just athletes. I mean, it's also coaches. We just inaugurated Gary Montalto, who was a soccer coach at Arlington High School for many years. Fantastic coach, fantastic human being. He's one of our Hall of Fame inductees this year. So if you come into our museum, you will see displays on local sports history. And just something that I just have to mention, and I'm going on a little bit, but
no, go.
This year we also inaugurated the Pat Zerbe room dedicated to women in sports. And Pat Zerbe is, she's still with us. She's phenomenal. She's 90 years old. She was really a trailblazer in women's sports in the Hudson Valley. She herself was an excellent athlete, but she also coached at Dutchess Community College, and she tells just amazing stories. And so we dedicated this room strictly on women in sports in the Hudson Valley, brand new exhibit.
Very cool.
Named after Pat Zerbe, who was, we were fortunate enough to have her there for the dedication. So that's been a big draw for us this year. I mean, our numbers have gone up tremendously because of that. So we're happy to have everyone come out. We are closed November through April, but, you know, this is our last couple of weeks. We're open in addition to this event that's coming up. We're usually open Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4.
Okay.
We're completely volunteer-driven. All of us are volunteers. So as we get more volunteers, we're hoping to add some hours, you know, maybe, you know, nighttime hours, some weekday hours.
Right.
We'll evaluate that over our break, but we're open now until the last weekend in October, and then we'll open up again in early May for the public.
Very cool. Now, what's the relationship?
So the Friends of Carnwath Farms is the friend group of the park.
Okay.
So we're interested in projects at the park, events at the park, stewarding the gardens there, and working with the town of Wappinger on whatever the given priority is. We are also 100% volunteer based. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. I got involved with Friends Group about 3 years ago, and the group was getting its sea legs still, kind of learning, you know, what it meant to be a Friends Group. I was actually trying to conjure up in my head this morning, how did I meet Mary? I mean, obviously, the sports museum is at the park, and, you know, I could have bumped into her, but it didn't quite happen that way. I think you reached out to me. I remember getting a long voicemail from Mary with like 10 billion ideas. And I was like, who is this person?
That's typical.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, who is this person? And it took me a while to actually get in touch with you, but we did. And, you know, Mary had just like, hey, why don't we just start with something simple? Like, let's just do one event, co-hosting, and go from there. So we actually met over the phone that way. And I was like, wait, you live in Arizona? You volunteer at the sports museum? Okay.
That's a commute.
Yeah, that's quite a commute.
5.5 hours.
A commute and a commitment.
Right.
Very committed. That's how we originally met up, and we, you know, we did it the first year. It was really lovely to just see families come out to the park.
Yeah.
And kids enjoy. And we said, let's do it again. So we've just been kind of drumming on that.
Give the address of the farm.
So sure. I'm going to give the address. I'm also going to spell Carnwath because I realize it sounds different than what it looks like. So Carnwath is spelled C-A-R-N-W-A-T-H.
Okay.
Okay. That's Carnwath. So if you need to Google that, Google that. And depending on which building you're talking about, I think it's anywhere from 72 Carnwath Farms Lane to 81 Carnwath Farms Lane.
Okay.
Any one of those should get you there.
Will land me there.
In Wappinger Falls.
And then follow the pumpkins and I'll know how to.
So it's interesting. And this brings a point. I always like to try to bring points of history in or whatever it is. So it's right off of Wheeler Hill Road. And Wheeler Hill is a historic district in Wappingers. It's actually on the National Register of Historic Sites. Two of the buildings at Carnwath are also on the National Register. It's actually the manor, which was built in 1850, and the carriage house.
Nice grab.
I was brushing up on my history this morning. You could easily pass by this 99-acre park and not realize that you're passing by it. I mean, you would realize, oh, wow, look at all that open land, but you might not realize, oh, this is a town-owned park that's for the public to enjoy.
Right.
And so I just encourage folks whether you're driving down the big Wheeler Hill or kind of going up towards the big Wheeler Hill. Just keep your eyes open. There are two large pillars. There is a sign that says Carnwath Farms. But if you're not looking for it, you might miss it. Right. We will have some signs up for the event to make sure people know the pumpkins this way.
All right, cool.
But just generally, if you go on any day to look for the park, just keep your eyes open. You'll find it. The sort of tucked awayness of the buildings was all very intentional in the design of the manor house. This was like back in the 1850s when like Andrew Jackson Downing was doing these romantic landscapes. And, you know, you couldn't just drive through your straight driveway. It had to weave up the road and there had to be these gorgeous trees and these open landscapes.
Right.
And so, you know, when you drive onto the property, you'll get that feel. And it's very, you know, it kind of takes you back in time. And it's really what's one of the amazing things that has been so nice in kind of getting more involved with the park and is just talking to everyone who's there, whether they're just, you know, they're walking their dog, they're enjoying, you know, just a picnic. They are hiking one of the trails that's there. Just everyone has some sort of, oh, I come here because it's a place of serenity for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I come here to look at the views or all the different kind of nooks and crannies of the park. It's not like there's any one key spot, but there's all these kind of little oases within the park that people enjoy. And
it's year-round, the park?
The park is open year-round.
So if I cross-country skied,
I think you could do a little bit of that there.
Okay.
I'm no expert on cross-country skiing, but I suppose you could. Because there's lots of like open land.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And I mean, is cross country skiing generally done on flat land?
I don't know.
Oh.
Have you done it?
No, never.
I lived in Buffalo for 7 years.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you cross country skied 365 days a year.
To work, to school,
yeah.
Everywhere. So typically, yes, you can. I mean, if there are obstructions in your way, you don't want that because you just kind of coast along a little bit. It's not like you're not flying.
Right.
You know, so if there are tree branches or, you know, any kind of obstruction or something, that's a bad thing. So typically you do look for a flatter surface. It doesn't necessarily have to be level. It could certainly be a hill, but as long as there are no obstructions, you know, a good cross country skier, when I lived here, I used to go out to, the Roosevelt Estate out there, Vanderbilt.
Yep.
You know, that's good cross country skiing. They have some trails out there. So, you know, so it's possible.
Right.
You just have to kind of be careful. Don't run into any trees.
It probably makes sense to do a walkthrough before
Absolutely.
The
snow. Right.
Kind of know your path
and
go from there. But I think there have been people who told me they've done that there. And I just, I, haven't seen it. I haven't done it. But you know,
are you all having musicians there too? Is that
we are? Thank
you
for bringing that up.
No worries.
I have the list here. So firstly, I want to say, insofar as organizing musicians, because I don't happen to be particularly in the musician scene in the Hudson Valley. I was born and raised on Long Island. I moved here pandemic, and you get what you get. But Ed Lotz of Lotz Guitars,
yeah,
who made our introduction,
yep,
he's actually on our advisory board, and he has done wonders in helping us connect with the music community and bringing music to the park as well. He has recruited volunteer musicians, talented, but volunteer. I just want to call that out because that's very generous of them. It's Circus Riot.
Okay.
They like rum and Sad Matt Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
Two of those bands slash musicians have played in the past at the event. So we really appreciate their talent and their time.
Very cool.
You know, it's family fun, you know, it livened things up with a little live music.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I also want to mention one other thing. Someone new this year, we have the Science Club of the Hudson Valley coming. This is their first year, and they'll be doing simple science experiments for kids. So that's something new.
Huh? Or John. Kids or John. Okay, right. Just to keep
anyone
simple.
Interested in
or not necessarily. That's something new. Just, you know, very simple little science experiments.
Yeah.
Kind of structured with the fall. Like, you know, how can you make bread, you know, the concept of yeast and baking. That's one of the things that they may be doing. Maybe something with leaves. So it should be really fun. So there'll be lots of, other than pumpkin painting, there's other activities for the kids as well.
I am the worst cook on the planet Earth. Like, I literally can't. Like, I can make eggs, and it stops, like, right there. No, it's only because I don't eat carbs. So I got to, like, eat something. So, but I'm, like, so bad at it. Like, if I had to bake, that would ruin my month.
I just have like a few staple things that I'm good at that grandma taught me. And then other than that, if you get me out of that, and then it's a disaster.
Why?
Culinary comfort
zone. Yeah, my culinary comfort zone.
When I was single, I did that. Okay. I had like, but when you get married, your brain turns to mush. Yeah, sorry.
I just got married in June. Is it happening?
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you what's going to happen?
Well, you're all right.
That's only one of the things.
Okay.
No, like when I was dating,
yes,
I had this move where I would invite you over and I could make, what was it? I'm going to say lasagna. I think it was lasagna. I'm married like 20.
You had like 60, the dish.
Yeah, one dish. And I mastered it, right? So then I meet my wife. We've been married like 25 years now. So then I meet my wife, and she's like this banger cook. Like,
yeah,
she's one of those people that can go in the refrigerator that hasn't been touched in like 3 months and somehow bring a souffle out. I don't get it. And so she's like this banger cook. So I pulled the lasagna trick on her.
Right.
It worked. She married me.
One time.
Right. One time. Exactly. Right. One time. And then like, you know, a year later, she's like, hey, how about that lasagna? And I'm like, I don't remember it. So, yeah. So I need the bread. I need the yeast.
Definitely.
What volunteers interest me because there's so many like, there's so many spots in life where you could plug in. What drove you to your particular areas of volunteerism?
Sure. I only learned about the park back in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, the woman who I'm now married to, we actually had a little bit of an argument. And I was like,
oh, good. Then you're perfect.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Then you're set up.
Totally a match made in heaven. You know, like sometimes you just need to like go for a drive, like clear your head. So I was just driving at that point.
Did you win the fight?
I don't know. I think it's one of those like eternal fights that
go.
Yeah, that's why we got.
Then
married,
you will.
Actually.
Then right. If we're gonna fight forever, we might as
so
well.
We can see who ultimately wins. Anyway,
that's awesome. We're gonna fight about this forever. We might as well commit.
Might as well commit.
Yeah,
it's a lifelong war. Anyway,
that's beautiful.
My wife is a wonderful person. I hope you hear this and know that I love you. So anyway,
but I still think I'm right.
Always. That's the Long Island Italian in me. That's hard to break. But anyway, yes. So I went for a drive, and that was 2022. I had moved to the area in 2020. I hadn't gone out much. It was the pandemic.
Did you come here by yourself, or?
I moved in with
okay.
my girlfriend, wife right. at the time. And, you know, I hadn't really explored the area. So I was just driving. I was like, I'm just going to drive towards the river, which landed
after
me.
A fight is always a good idea.
Well, no, not in that mindset.
Okay, all right.
And like, let me go. Like, I want to go be in nature kind of thing. I was like, there has to be a park around here somewhere. And sure enough, here's, I come across I found it because I was looking for it. I was like, I want to find a park. And sure enough, oh, well, Carnwath Farms. And there was no obstruction to me getting in. So I drove right in and I went for a walk and I was like, wow, this is just an amazing park. It's local. I had learned that there was a friends group through time and started to get involved. But to me, it's like such a huge asset and resource in my own community. It's very tangible. It lights up a lot of synapses in my brain, right? It's like nature, biodiversity, history, community, the proximity to the river, the views, the focus on the town to bring arts and culture in that area, the sports museum, which I think is actually very tied to nature. And you know, I think that I didn't actually research this, but I suppose that the original sport was played somewhere in nature with some sort of, you know, natural setting. Like all those things just are very interesting to me. And I think what's really important is the friends group and the town shares in a vision for the park where it's, you know, it always will be a community park, but that it also becomes more of a destination for visitors far and wide. It really gets me excited to be involved with something that, one, maintaining it as a community resource first and foremost, while seeing that vision through. So that's sort of, in a nutshell, is why I'm involved with the park.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I actually retired during COVID. I'm a librarian.
Okay.
Once you're a librarian, you're always a librarian, kind of like a Marine. Mm-hmm. So
you're very well spoken for a librarian, though. Aren't you supposed to be like quiet?
That's a stereotype.
Yeah, okay, all right.
We're actually wildly aggressive people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So when I retired, I had
librarians are wildly aggressive people. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I walk into a library sometime, you see it.
Well, I used to have this thing. I won't mention the town, but I lived in this town. Still do. But this is like 25, 30 years ago. I walked in the library and there were all women 65, 70, because it was volunteer, you know, mostly volunteer. They hated me. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, why do older women hate me? And librarians, only librarians. Like anywhere else I went, I was fine. But church, great. You're an 85-year-old lady. You love me in church. But libraries, they hated me. So I stopped going. I let like 20 years pass. My beard gets a little gray. Walk back in the library because now I have a daughter. I'm a hit.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what that was, but maybe because they're wildly aggressive.
I can't explain that. I don't know. I mean, I know I was a library manager for 14 years, and most of the people that we hired were just get up and go, you know, not the passive quiet, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, generally speaking, the new face of the librarian is to be on the forefront of community programming. Mm-hmm. That was really my area of expertise. I was a children's literacy specialist. And so we were out there all the time talking about books, talking about the importance of reading.
What do you think the future of libraries is now?
I think the future of libraries is just phenomenal. I don't see libraries going away. I know there was some conversation when we first started with ebooks, you know, a few years ago. It's like, oh, well, people don't need paper books anymore. People don't need libraries. They can just get into their, you know, their tablets, you know, into their Kindles. They can download books. They can listen to them. They can read them. What's the point of going to the library? You know, we have not seen a decrease. You know, that has really leveled off. Some people prefer to do audiobooks and ebooks exclusively. Others prefer paper books exclusively. Some people do both. That's what I do. You know, I mean, I travel a lot. So I have, you know, I have a Kindle, I have audiobooks, you know, but I like a paper book. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, and it's not just really, it's not just about the books. I mean, libraries are really community service centers. Like I was talking about early literacy, you know, we set up a program where we had retirees, mostly former teachers who came in and they tutored children who were struggling, first graders who were struggling in reading. We set up that program. We have citizenship programs, you know, for people who are, you know, studying to become American citizens. We have a job center working with Goodwill Industries. We have a job center 2 times a week to help people go over their resumes, get tips on interviewing. Not to mention the programming, the summer reading programming, to get over the summer slide, to keep kids reading over the summer.
This sounds good. What can Dutchess County do to lure you back?
To tell you the truth, to be completely honest, I would love to move back, but my husband loves Arizona.
What's his number?
So he doesn't want to budge.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on it. But the future of libraries is fantastic. And so when I retired, I thought, well, you know, it was during COVID, everything was shut down. I thought, well, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You know, and I love programming. That's really like my heart is in setting up programs. My brother was involved in this museum. And I thought, well, I can travel a little more now that I'm not working. So I started, you know, just as a volunteer, but then they persuaded me to join the board. And so my primary area of focus are things like this, you know, like Jessica and I put this together, you know, this annual event that we do now in the fall.
Right.
You know, I helped organize our opening day that we have. We usually have a speaker. That's something that I did a lot at the library. I coordinated different speakers, authors, people who would come in. I do that. And I'm also a Marist University graduate.
As is my wife.
It's just so excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I work with Marist University on intern. We started an internship program. So every semester we have anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 Marist interns who are interested. Quite a few of them are interested in sports communication. That's a big major, you know, at Marist. But we also have some history majors who are interested in doing historical artifacts and exhibits.
Mm.
So we put them to work. So I coordinate that with Marist. So that's really my role, and I really enjoy it. I mean, I do other volunteering back in Arizona, but I love the Hudson Valley. And I feel tied to this.
Right.
And this kind of gives me an opportunity to use, you know, whatever skills I've accumulated over the years.
Not perfect.
You know, to the benefit of the museum. So yeah. That's really my piece of it.
How long are you married?
32 years.
How's the first? So June for you.
Yeah. We just.
Hold on. Let me do the math. July, August, September. So 4 months.
Yeah. It was June 1st. So like.
All right. So 5.
Yeah. Well, three and a half.
June, July, August, September.
Yeah.
So that's 4, and now you're halfway.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, 4.
You lost
half.
Your anniversary already, and it's only.
I'm bad. Well, we've been together for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So it's like.
Did marriage change anything?
No. I have to say, I enjoy calling my partner my wife now more than, because I used to refer to her as partner. Now I just call her my wife, which it's, I don't know, there's a nice ring
it's
to it.
It's a nice ring to
it.
It
is nice.
But did it change the relationship at all?
I don't think so.
Not at all?
I don't think so. You got to get her in here, though.
Oh, okay.
She says.
All right. I'll bring her in right now.
Yeah, right.
What's the secret to 32 years?
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, there are always ups and downs. I wouldn't be truthful if I didn't say that. There is, you know, it just kind of, you get to know a person and you get to know their quirks and certain things you have to accept, certain things about me drive him crazy, you know, vice versa. So you just kind of get past some of that and you think to yourself, no, we're partners, you know, we're going to stay together through thick and thin.
Yeah.
You know, we have a daughter, you know, someday maybe grandchildren, you know, we're a unit, you know, we're a family unit. So that's how we're life partners. That's how I see it.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's one thing he does that drives you nuts?
He's a neat freak.
Oh, you're a librarian. How are you not a neat freak?
You have quite a paradox.
Well, no, your books have to be organized, right? I mean, like.
If you've ever seen the TV show Monk with Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, sure.
Have you seen that?
I've heard
My
of it,
husband
yeah.
even actually, he actually looks like Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, okay. And he's got the OCD going on?
And he's got he's very meticulous. And so that's just something, one of those things that you just have to get used to. You know, I would put this down on the coffee table. He's like, Mary, is that really the place where you would put a water bottle on the coffee table?
Oh.
So,
That's just,
okay.
That's just something that I need to learn.
I can show you another place where I can put the right,
exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Are you open to suggestion? Because
you should meet my husband sometime. Sounds like we would have a blast.
What's one thing your wife does that makes you nuts?
Oh, gosh. Well, she is not a neat freak, I will say that. Yeah, sometimes I joke. I'm like, it's like I'm living like with a teenager. There's stuff here. There's stuff there. So I'm definitely, I wouldn't call myself a neat freak by any means. But yeah, this stuff, you know, like if you don't keep it moving along, it'll just accumulate. And all of a sudden, you'll be drowning in laundry or whatever it is. So I'm the one who scoops the water out and she puts the water in. And, you know, that's why it works.
Right, 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 right.
So, yes. Yes. She is an amazing cook.
Oh, she is?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. My husband is too.
Oh, okay.
I do not cook. Oh, so we're the non-cookers.
We're the non-cook group. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah.
the non-cookers. Non-cookers so unite. Funny, yeah, man. Get us go.
My, we're 25 years, but my wife had this like head and neck cancer journey that was just insane. And no, she wound up like on the Today Show and Newsweek. It was, she had like this crazy thing. And like, you're talking about what, like we were bumpy before that. Like you bump, like there were times when we got like real bumpy. But then you go through something like that. And everything else, just, you're like, what am I fighting about? How stupid is this? Like, everything else becomes that. Things that you would have left somebody over, right. 2 years ago, then becomes like, what? And
why
so,
even?
Yeah, yeah. So it's been like, since diagnosis, it's been like 4.5 years. And I don't think we said anything but kind words to each other in 4.5 years. So,
yeah,
sometimes like, I mean, it's never good to go through like a trauma like that, but it does, sometimes it does bring you much closer together than you would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was funny. So she had this crazy surgery and this crazy chemo and radiation thing. Like they burned her face off and it was insane.
Yeah.
Cut her head off, burned her face off. It was nuts. So she's doing this rehab. And she didn't want to go. They didn't offer physical therapy anyway, but by the time she was done, she couldn't walk. She could barely talk. She could like, and they just hand you off. They're just like, okay, take her home. And I'm like, but wait, she's Jell-O. Well, I I can play guitar, but I'm not a physical therapist. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh,
so she went through like this crazy, it's a story, but this crazy alternative recovery in my gym. And so she gets better. One day I'm coming up to do the show and the phone rings and it's her. And she goes, I'm in the hospital. And I'm like, why? She goes, I broke my ankle on spin class. I go, oh my God. And she goes, no, it's adorable. Because of what she went through before,
yeah,
she just like,
right.
Please give me a broken ankle. Like that.
Yeah.
So it gives you
perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does.
That's right. You're like, yay, I have a broken ankle.
Yeah. That's exactly what she was. She's laughing. I'm like,
and that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. She literally said, it's adorable. That's good.
So, and how is she now?
Oh, she's destroying now.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 But I did this thing called the Lifted Project because 30 seconds because I'll make it. You want to cry?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go. So, she gets out of the hospital and she's been through like a year of torture. And I'm not like the back half of her head is bald. Her face is burnt off from radiation. She can't talk. She can barely get like a shakedown. She can't eat it. And so I'm going to start crying already. I get her home. Her treatment ended December 30th. So she sits in a chair for like 4 weeks, can't move. And like she has like no, like your muscles atrophy to the point where, and she's weighs like 4.5 pounds. And so I'm like, I'm going to take you. I'm like, I got to get you outside, like to the theory of the park, to the benefit of a park. I'm like, I got to get you outside. You haven't seen the sun in like forever and you're dying in here and you're whiter than our toilet paper. So I get her up and I put a winter coat on her, but she's not strong enough to wear a winter coat. So I put a blanket on her and I get her outside and she can't walk. She can shuffle, right? So she shuffles out and the sun catches her face. She gets out from under the sun, catches her face and I see her
turn her head like this. Normally that means there's something wrong with her neck. But she just stayed like that and didn't say anything, just stayed like that. And I saw her actually remembering like what the sun felt like to the point of, yeah, of a park. Like it's sure. So like mm-hmm. her first step in healing was to be outside
wow.
and feel the sun.
Yeah.
So that was enough of that day. We did like 10 steps.
Yeah.
Then like the next day we do like, I'm making this up, 20 steps. Then the next day I'm making this up, we do 18 steps. But eventually I get her to the mailbox and then eventually I get her to the next door neighbor's house and she's kind of walking. But that took like a couple months, right? So I go to the gym a lot for my head more than my body, but I go to the gym a lot. So but she used to go to the gym a lot. So I take these classes, and so I have this idea. I'm like, hey, could I? And I have a friend. Her name is Julie, and she teaches there. And I'm like, hey, could I bring Trish in and just have her like in the back, just kind of shuffle around, just to have some place to go and something to move, right? So she's like, yeah, get in here. So I go to Trish and she's like, I can't, I'm ugly, I'm disfigured, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you can wear your sunglasses, you can wear your scarves, but we're going to, so she goes to the back of the class and the class starts and she's like kind of shuffling, right? And my friend Julie sees this and she's like, that. She goes to the back, grabs Trish, brings her up front, turns around, makes her face everybody and shuffles the whole thing. With like when you have to lift weights, she lifts like no weights, just body. And but did the whole thing with Trish, right? And everybody's crying. It's beautiful and easy, right? Mm-hmm. So I get down to the car and Trish is crying and she goes, do you think we could ever do that again? Same second, my phone rings and it's Julie. And she's like, get her in here every day. And to volunteerism, to what you guys do. So I'm like, okay. So I said, Julie says we have to come back tomorrow. So we go back tomorrow. And they start working together every day. 40 people in the class. We all do our own thing. And Julie just wouldn't, not getting paid to do it, not being told to do it, not anything. Just. So one day, what part of what you got to do on the, you know what a box jump is? It's, you can figure it out. It's a 2-foot box and you got to jump on it, right? So, and Trish has neuropathy, like her head isn't talking to her feet. So she's just shuffling. So, we bring out this like 3-inch step and she tries to jump on it and she falls because she can't jump on it. So she's crying. So Julie comes over. Oh, sorry. Julie comes over, throws her body over Trish so nobody else can see. And they go forehead to forehead and they talk for like a minute and a half. I don't know what was said. I mean, I do because later we got interviewed about it. But they stand up and Trish like wipes her nose and her eyes and just goes back and just doing this with like, you know, 2 pounds or whatever. Julie takes Trish, walks over to the block at the end of class and says, we go every day until you can get up on that box. And so they go for months, like 4 or 5 months, every day. Julie just, I'm going to do this with you. Yeah. No program, all intuition, no blah, blah. Didn't, no money, didn't ask, just volunteering.
Yes. Yes.
So, so one day. And, you know, and it, psychologically, it's important too, because like she thinks she's disfigured and can't be around people and blah, blah, blah. And so little by little, she can get like on a 6-foot block and she can get on like a foot. So one day she's standing in front of the 2-foot thing. I'll never forget this. She's standing in front of the 2-foot thing. And what she can do is she can put like 1 foot on it and then put it down and the other foot on it and put it down. Right. So Julie walks over. And they go, I'll never forget this. They go forehead to forehead again. And this time I could hear it. And Julie's like, you can do this today. You are a feather. You can fly. You can do this today. And just steps away, right? Now you spend 4 months with somebody every single day. You trust them and you love them. And she looks at me and I'm like, dude, I don't know. This is between you ladies. I don't know what's going on. And everybody circles around and she jumps on the box, right? Oh my God. And everybody's sobbing. Everybody's crying.
Yeah.
And
got me.
Okay. There you go. And, and so, but it just goes to show like that whether you're volunteering like you or volunteering like you, the most powerful stuff in life, I think happens when you're not getting paid to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much cynicism in the world right now. When you hear stories like this mm-hmm. and through, you know, other experiences, through volunteering, through work at the library, whatever, and you see people who put themselves out for other people, you know, sometimes you just have to stop and realize there's a lot of goodness and there's a lot of
so
love
much,
in
yeah.
the world. You know, I mean, and we should really focus more on that instead of all the negativity. You know, that's a wonderful story. And we all have those stories in our lives, you know, and that just shows that there is just so much in the world that we need to be grateful for.
Negativity is a trap, man.
It absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. It is complete. It's a complete distraction from everything that's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I've tried just personally to try to put any negativity aside and just focus on the positive and, you know, make my life about good things.
Yep.
And appreciate people.
Definitely.
And just go forward from there.
Has it worked?
You know, I mean, quite honestly, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Sometimes
yeah.
You really have to work at it because sometimes people get you mad or there are old grievances or things happen or you watch the news mm-hmm. and you see horrible things and it's hard not to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about, okay, a story like this, you know, or somebody like in my experience, like I said, you know, retired teacher, 82 years old, teaching first graders how to
read. Yeah.
Of her own time. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about this, it's like, you know, well, there's goodness in the world. There's evil, yes.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of goodness, and that's what we need to cultivate and focus on.
And they evil and goodness work the same. You get back more of what you just did. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do something stupid, you get back more stupid. If you do something good, you get back more good, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
But, you know, you can't. It's not always like, right, oh, I did right. this. It comes right back at me.
Oh, no, you got to wait. Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, I'm a believer that, you know, if you...
This Carnwath Farm thing is going to take a couple more years for you to get paid back.
So an important point on Carnwath Farms, I'm not doing it to have it pay back personally right. or anything like that.
I imagine it's not a big moneymaker.
Yeah. and what was very humbling when I first started to get involved was I was like, okay, well, let me kind of learn more about the history so I have a little bit more confidence in what I'm talking about and whatnot. So I went into the town clerk office and I'm pulling documents and learning what's this, you know, what's going on, what's the town done. And you see the frankly, hundreds of people that have been involved with the park since it was purchased in 1999 by the town of Wappingers. And you very quickly realize I am just one steward in a line of many stewards for this park and in a line of hopefully many more stewards after me to help maintain this as a public park that can be enjoyed by residents and visitors alike. So that, you know, I think acknowledging that, you know, that's really the reality is that it takes a village.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it takes a village through time to do that sort of thing. And, you know, there's been some really great leadership at the town level to, you know, just have the foresight to say, oh, we should purchase this.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Right.
Yeah.
Is really an amazing thing. So,
and the importance of public space
mm-hmm.
yes.
is going to exponentially grow.
Yeah.
Like it's important now, yeah. but the more isolated we become, whether it's AI or working from home or all the stuff that in 20 years, we're going to be, what were we thinking? Like, even like working from home, you're going to think, what? Like, if you had worked from home, how many friends would you not have now?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. They would be disembodied voices.
Yeah. No, the idea of public space where you can, preserving nature, obviously.
Sure.
But the idea of a public space where you can go and meet somebody, because, you know, you go out to dinner, you're not meeting anybody. You're with who you're with, or you're, you know, sporting events. There you can meet somebody. But like Parkland, the idea of a space that's accessible. Do you charge to get on to go to the park?
Oh no, we don't free. We have an authority to charge, but we wouldn't anyway.
Oh, okay,
it is free and it is free for the public to use.
That's going to be. It's important today. I bet you in 7 years, it's 100 times more important than it is today, just because we don't see each other.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's, to Mary's point at the beginning, like, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this event, is actually there's a ton of people who have lived in the town of Wappinger their entire lives who have never heard of this book.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, what?
Right.
You know, that it's this amazing gem and, you know, people haven't heard of it. So, you know, I always, whenever I'm wearing my bright green t-shirt or having conversations about the park, I'm like, okay, like, I am just like a human form on the park and I'm trying to represent the park. The park can't walk around the town and say, hey, come on over, check me out. So that's kind of what I'm doing as I'm saying, hey, come to this place, find a space there for yourself that is meaningful, connect with people, bump into people, maybe you bump into a festival going on.
Yeah.
It happens to be that day. You know, don't let the opportunity, be missed by just not checking it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time do I have to get you guys out of here by?
I probably need to leave here in about 7 to 10 minutes.
All right. the name of the event is?
Fall Festival and Pumpkin Painting.
Okay.
Carnwath Farms.
Rain or shine.
Okay.
Free admission.
Sunday, October 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Fantastic. And thanks to Joey for
his
support.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have done it without him.
Yes. Joey's highly involved with both of our organizations.
Absolutely.
He's awesome.
He's on our advisory board
and ours as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I make fun of him too much. And thank you for coming here. I'll try to get this up. I'll try to get it up this afternoon, actually.
It'll be up
and I'll let you know when it's up so you can point to it. And then and the park's open all year.
Yeah, all year.
And you guys close in November but open back up in
First weekend in May.
All right. Terrific. Did I forget to ask you anything?
I don't think so. Can I just make a plug?
You can do whatever you want to do.
So for the friends group, I just want to say, you know, we are basically only limited by the hands we have. And that's not to say we have lots of talent on our board and in our membership base, lots of very giving people. But the more people who are willing to, you know, come to the park and help weed a garden or, you know, in the case of the Fall Festival, we have a member who's the past 3 years, she's done face painting for free. Isn't that lovely, you know? So whatever talent you have or whatever you'd like to offer, I could almost guarantee there's a place for it at the park. Check us out, friendsofcarnwathfarm.org, and reach out, friendsofcarnwath1@gmail.com if you have questions. We just would love to have more people involved and help.
You needed friends. The number one in the email address?
Yeah, it's a long story, but...
okay, all right. I was going to say, how many Friends of Carnwath are there?
There's been different versions of them.
Understood. All right.
Yeah, so I would like to make a similar pitch.
Yes, please.
We are also completely, as I mentioned before, completely volunteer staff. So we do have some space for volunteers of all levels. You do not have to be an expert on sports. A lot of times when we go out to events, people say, well, I would love to be involved, but I really don't know that much about sports. That's fine. You don't have to be a tour guide. You know, we have some people who enjoy doing that who do know a lot about sports. We have all kinds of things. We have behind the scenes if people are interested in helping out with, you know, clerical tasks, you know, there's room for that. We have
marketing.
Yes, absolutely. We have a couple people who are devoted to marketing. There's so much that you can do. You can work with the interns. You can do some mentoring. There's a lot that needs to be done. We have a couple of openings coming up on our board. So we're looking for new board members. We've had a few people leave the board. So we're looking for new board members. It's not a huge time commitment. Our board only meets, you know, once a month and then, you know, helps plan events, activities, and, you know, set the direction for the museum. So we are always looking for people who are interested in volunteering. It's good for the community. And I'm big into local history, as is Jessica, you know, and I think that this is our way of preserving our local history in the area of sports, but that's also a big part of our local history. And we would just welcome anyone who would like to volunteer.
Beautiful. Give me the event and the date again, one more time. Just
Fall Festival and Pumpkin Painting on Sunday, October 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Carnwath Farms. That's Carnwath.
CH?
Sorry. TH.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Can you edit that out?
No, but I can correct you. It's TH, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's just the TH at the end there.
Beautiful. Thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Oh, please. My pleasure. I'm going to hit stop it. Do we cover everything?
I think we're good.
We got everything? All right. Now you can curse. Go ahead. No, just kidding. You can curse.
Okay.